Wait, did you call him Dr. Umar?
Tawana told the truth.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Tawana told the truth. You know how we were led astray by that whole thing?
Who?
How did we find out she was lying? By the newspaper, right?
What are you talking about?
Tawana. You don't remember Tawana Brawley?
Nah.
The black girl who said these white guys threw in bags into garbage bags filled with shit.
No, no, I don't.
Wait, what?
Why did this even come up?
Thing. I thought it was a rape thing.
There was a part like putting her in a bag with feces or something like that. I don't remember the rape part. And anyway, they just sort of proved she was lying because she had some discrepancies or something. It was Al Sharpton.
Objection. Relevance. Like, how did we get here?
Ow.
Yeah, the fact that objection, relevance, really missed.
Oh, that's what she said? Objection, relevance?
Such a contextual, like, that was... I've always wanted to be a lawyer, and now I feel like this.
You can say
I'm really coming
to
first.
Do it.
Oh, God.
No, but wait.
That's when you started, like, in the middle of the sentence. You were like, y'all know she.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did, like, where?
Who's she? Because you were saying greater purpose than that.
Yeah, go to Al Sharpton, and I thought of Tawana Brawley. That was right.
I am kind of upset that we've gone so many seasons on the call. And also into the podcast that objection relevance is just now getting used.
Oh my God.
Are you fucking kidding
True,
me? That was perfect.
I concur.
No, I object to that being used because I feel like it would be used against me mostly.
Of course
and
it will because
like
you're the most
relevant. My flights of fancy and tangents are what gives this podcast its flavor and its spice.
That's what gives
Ask
it
the listeners.
Without that.
Ask the
ask
listeners.
Fine, we will. We will ask the listeners. We'll pose that question.
Objection relevant.
Nice. Thank you. Gonna say it all the time. I said something.
It's too soon. She ran
I'm
back.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. Anyway,
I'm literally never going to not say that to you.
You're the only one not laughing. He's not at all.
You're out of your. He's badgering the podcast. Oh God! Listen, I don't need you winging it. Okay, we have an actual, format here.
Oh, there's gonna be wings, and they're gonna be spread tonight.
All right.
They're gonna be wings. All right. Somebody else should moderate.
Morgan says
I've spent time answering those questions.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I
did my homework. Well, I did part of my homework. I do have to say I did not.
Are you sitting there
like, don't say it, Bob. Don't say it.
Yeah. You're sitting in homeroom writing all your answers right now from 8 to 8:30?
No, I did my homework. I didn't. What? I didn't read all of the chapters.
How is that answer existing both in the same time and space?
This
I
is amazing.
I didn't read all of the chapters.
Listen, in her defense.
Right. So I answered.
In Afro's defense.
I read what I read.
In Afro's defense.
Didn't answer it with anything more than what I saw. So
in Afro's defense, she did do extra credit, though. The Patreon
exactly.
If Patreon is damn near complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yes.
Thank you.
Our Patreon is looking pretty spiffy. Yeah.
But the oven mitt does not do with the
spatula.
Spatula does. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. They're both important.
Yes.
Well, I object to the whole thing because this documentary was a ruse for Castro to be able to be on his pulpit for this entire call.
Exactly
about how great,
everyone knew
how
that.
Great
everyone
Game of Thrones
that.
Is, and how fucking we need to bow down at each season to say thank you to let us suck your dick, DBs, because y'all the best. That's what this whole call is about. That's what the whole call to action of watching that piece of shit was. It was real hard watch for me.
Thank you for the introduction, Morgan. Okay, so
you're
tonight.
Welcome. Yep. Here I am, doing a great job.
All right,
we're going to talk about. I mean, I know we're about to talk about the documentary, but obviously this episode is going to be called Faith.
I'm sorry, I called. It's going to be called what?
Did you say Faith? And did you say obviously?
Obviously, this is the day that this council gets fired. That's what this day is obviously going to be.
Holding on to your faith.
Oh, God.
And believing in that hell.
Obviously, why obviously?
Because this
that's
is
where we're
his
at.
Show.
That name is, that title's long as shit,
on this
by the
journey.
Way.
On this journey. You could shorten it to Faith, the Castro Chronicle, chapter 1.
All right.
Verse infinity. So,
oh, Jesus.
It all started.
Of the Lord.
In a summertime Brooklyn apartment.
Okay, wait, slow down.
What?
I got 2 hours of recording time here. Let's do the intros. For God's sake.
I'm just starting in 1977.
You know what?
That's why I was like, speed up. Let's get through this.
All right.
It was the hottest summer.
No.
Record.
No.
What? In 1970.
Listen, no one wants to hear about Son of Sam. Let's go. Let's start.
I was
about
Son of Sam part. I was just going on this heat wave. Okay, stop jumping the gun.
Oh, am I? Mm. I'm trying to protect the podcast.
Oh, that's rich.
What I'm trying to do.
They like to call this the second season. For the sun worshippers, it's the first. Mm-mm. It was a hot summer day, 1977. March. Brooklyn is the setting. A young progeny is soon about to birth out into this universe.
I'm not sure how like long do we let this go, or I think
she Cassius was early.
Cassius was like shutting it down, so yeah. It's fine.
Cash was like, end scene.
All right. Let's do the regular intros first, and then just giving y'all a little taste of the temper and the and the cadence that I will be speaking with the entire night.
Okay.
Oh, so great.
Appetizers, no entrees, okay? All right.
Let us commence. We should all digitally join hands for this great cadence.
What are we, druids? I'm cool, bro. Let's do the intro. We at Stonehenge? I'm not doing all that.
My man said we should all digitally join hands. Mm-mm. Beautiful work,
ideas.
Castro. Can we move out of this character, though?
There is no character tonight. There is only me.
No.
This microphone.
Brand, the boring. Got it.
White Walker perpetuated offenses are considered especially heinous. In Westeros, 4 dedicated friends investigate and discuss these vicious episodes as members of an elite squad known as A Podcast Has No Name.
Oh, I'm Afro, and this is Cash.
And I'm Ambush.
I am Lord Castro of the Netherlands.
What? And I'm Morg, and we are a podcast that has no name. And today we will be talking about The Last Watch, the Game of Thrones 2-hour documentary documenting the final series or season.
So it was not a 90-minute documentary.
Not even a little.
Time is such a fleeting concept.
Yeah, especially when they didn't add more time to the episodes. You're right, it's a fleeting concept.
I watched the 90-minute
realm.
Is it 90 minutes?
Well, you got it. More than enough.
These are all fleeting moments that we should cherish.
Okay.
We pluck the stars.
Afro, did you enjoy the documentary altogether?
From my firmament of sky.
Okay. No. I found the documentary to be somewhat interesting. I can't say I enjoyed it. And the closest analogy I can give you is like the way I felt about history, you know, back in grade school. I was like, this is fucking interesting. You know what I mean? This is boring. This is boring.
Real boring. Ambush, how'd you feel?
It had its moments. I think I would have appreciated it maybe earlier. You know, again, building up some anticipation to maybe some of the later seasons. But after it was all said and done, You know, yeah, it was okay. I think if they knew that we were going to be as disappointed as we are with the final season, that maybe they would have given us more cool stuff in the documentary, as opposed to just thinking we'd just be satisfied with seeing things happen.
Ketra.
I feel a great sense of disappointment in my fellow podcasters letting go of the rope. I'm not going to be all low poetic and shit. I'm just going to speak. And I really enjoyed...
Wait, are you reviewing how you feel about us?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
I think we're getting reviewed right now.
He's reviewing
us.
He's not reviewing. He's not reviewing the documentary he asked us to watch. He's reviewing us. So,
cool. Forced viewing.
And so, I enjoyed the documentary. I am a big fan of, looking behind the veil and seeing the special effects and extras and stuff like that. It's very fascinating to me. But it also, reinforced, how much time we all have spent with this show, creators to the watchers. There's some other points that I'll bring up, as we go on with this podcast tonight. But it's just a sobering moment just to know that, you walk into the breach with, you look to the right and left of you and there's people right beside you. And you walk through the fog. And it gets a little murky, but you come out on the other side. But you're by your damn self. And everybody's back there snickering and giggling with the rest of the gremlins that don't like our show.
Your grump kids.
I can't believe y'all.
Grump kids.
I can't believe y'all are just letting the show
this
go.
Is
Snarks.
I'm not done.
It's completely ridiculous.
Snarks and grump
kids. Snarks and grump kids.
I'm not done.
Of course.
All right.
Of course you're not.
As a fan, as a sports fan, when a team doesn't have a successful season, say they don't win the championship, it doesn't mean a failed season. There's moments within that season that there was some greatness. They might have reached a win total. They might have done something for the first time in a franchise. And just to hear the tone of all of y'all, it's not even what we're talking about. Y'all don't even give a damn anymore about the damn show. Oh, this waste of time and all this. I'm really, really, to the point my man answered, he's not even going to suggest the show to people. Just let the people see something that they've never seen before. I just can't. I really don't understand.
Listen.
Anyway, I'm going to finish.
Is that what you're doing?
And then we come with the retort.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
All right.
Yeah. I'm highly upset. And I'm feeling a little, I know you can tell. I don't need to comment.
It's repetitive.
And I'm feeling a little vulnerable right now. You know what I mean? And yes, I'm being snarky. All right? Because I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Why didn't you ask the showrunners what the hell was going on?
No, I'm upset that it seems like because we don't like it, we're vilifying the whole show, like our whole tone. We're not even happy that we spent all this time watching the show anymore. Like some of us are looking at it like it was a waste of years. And that can't be the case.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Right, I don't think any of us think
you're not listening, bro.
No, you're. So if I can interject really quickly. I understand where you're at for what I think your information is, but your information isn't right. Am saying he's not going to recommend the show doesn't mean he thinks he wasted 8 years. Am is upset with the way it ended. That doesn't mean that there wasn't great shit the entire time. I'm upset with the way it ended. That doesn't mean there wasn't great shit the entire time. I believe App is in that same boat. It's not fuck the show forever. It's this was not great. And it was a huge disappointment to us. Hold on. It was a huge disappointment to us when we were with you invested doing all of the same things. You know what I mean? We were all discussing different theories and following these things that just got quit. And for that to not, give me a documentary on why the fuck you cut all this stuff then. I'd rather know what some of those things were and why it wasn't important enough to the story anymore. When we did spend years on it, you know what I mean?
I'm curious to see because this will be a big divergence, but it will be informing each other. When we do, that's why I thought we could slam it with this episode. When we do this season's review, and then a series review is really going to be tainted by this season's review. It can't not be because we were hoping for to bring home, But at the same time, when I'm watching nostalgic episodes and I know we're going to do the rewatch, I'm like, oh my God, oh man, I forgot this. Like the Battle of the Back is like smacked me in the head. I watched the other day. And I forgot we experienced that great thing. And then there's other great things this season, but y'all seeing what I've done the whole time we've been reviewing this season. I'm trying to pick and parcel. I know there's been flaws. I do. But I also know I got swept up in the fact this is really the final season of something great. So I have to find some decent in it. And I see all the shortcuts they took. And I'm just not as mad because, I don't know, maybe I saw some coming. But when it was just happening, I was just like, okay.
So what it like boils
the same way I reacted to Cersei and
so what it boils down to, Castro.
I was like, okay.
Castro, very simply, you're okay with the choices they made. We are not. That's it.
And we've all spent a lot of time in the middle of this ground. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle ground, but I need to have the space and the freedom to hate it if I wanted to.
Right.
Like, I need that from you, Castro. You know what I'm saying? I need to be able to feel however I want about what I saw.
That
might not align with how you feel.
Granted,
even on
an
emotional attachment level, like, I'm not, like, you're talking about connecting back with Battle of the Bastards. If I watch Battle of the Bastards right now, I am not going to feel what you just said. And not because of how the show ended or how the season went, but just because I'm not at that same space that you are. So I think that it would be nice to have space to feel or react however we want to from the show. Like, if I hated it, I need to be able to hate it. I don't.
And you not take it personally, Castro. Like, that's the point. Something's happening here where you're taking our reaction personally, and it's affecting that. Like, and it shouldn't. This is just, we're all reacting to something that we greatly love, and we're all going to do that differently.
If there was such a high and we took a downturn with one season, how are we so many levels down, though?
Because it's the final season. It's the way they chose to end the show. There's no more seasons after this to fix anything they've done. Castro, we've all sat here and done the work all these seasons, like everyone has said, watched all the history and lore and did all and got invested in every little intricacy that they gave us, all the little nods, pay attention to this, pay attention to that, and then they decided to pull the tablecloth off and made none of that stuff matter. You can't just be like, well, if that's okay for you, then that can be okay for you. But you have to make room for everyone else to be disappointed in the fact that the things that they told us to pay attention to no longer matter. Like, this, what are you talking about?
Fair enough.
Is that really how you feel?
What?
Like, are you receiving this? You know what I mean? Is it fair enough? Yes.
I listened. I didn't interrupt. Yeah, the last thing I said was really true. Like, I feel like we went to so many highs, and then Am explained it, the final season. So, like, it's like we dropped down, like, four fucking levels, though. Like, not just one or two. Like, I felt like we were so happy after episode 2 and 4, which I felt, like, so delightful.
No.
Because we've been... No?
I'm sorry, my bad.
But, like, going back to, like, the various days of old. That's something I'm very disappointed with the show with, and I've kind of kept to myself. When I watched Varys in this documentary toss his script, the table read was so powerful. I wanted to kind of say this, but let's just get to it. The table read, when watching them read a year before, you know, filming everything and going on, that hit me because they were just as disappointed and they were just as shocked.
Yeah.
But just seeing episode 2 and episode 4 and seeing them go back to the whispers and the conversations and stuff, that was very refreshing. And I thought we were, you know, almost back there or whatever. And they did what they did. So, I don't know. I'll come to grips with it.
Castro, I just want to throw to you just as a genuinely, I love you so much. You're having something that, like, the defense of the show that you want to have is not allowing you to really be objective. It's making you take things that you didn't like and put it in your pocket and you're defending it outwardly because you don't want other people to be disappointed in the show. And I don't know what that means, but I do know that you are as disappointed as we are, and that's why you're as passionate. You're just going the other way.
There's so many stranger detractors that popped up out of nowhere for this season in particular. They weren't even around for last season when we were like, oh, my God, they're teleporting. But it seemed like there were so many people, like, tearing our show apart. I'm like, who the hell are y'all?
Yeah.
Y'all didn't even put in the time to come in with these harsh opinions, not just like, hey, I jumped in, it's half what I – like, I was just talking with a friend. She binge-watched it and just asking her, what did you feel for the Red Wedding? You know, she would give me her reactions and all that stuff. And she's about to watch the last four episodes, and I'm just sitting there waiting to see if she just pissed off.
How did she feel about the Red Wedding? I'm interested on someone who binged it.
Oh, yeah, the same. It still has the same rhythmic hit. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And, you know, happy about Joffrey. All of that stuff still works for people that just watched it, like, last weekend.
Right.
So, so that's always going to be good when people, you know, dive into it and be able to ask them about certain markets.
I feel you on being upset with people super tearing it down. I absolutely understand that. But there's got to be part of you that understands the disappointment. Yeah. I don't think I could write it better. I'm not making that claim. I'm just saying there were many balls dropped here.
I just didn't want them. I didn't want our show to drop the ball.
Yeah,
I was, you know, I just didn't.
Same.
The tragic part about all these people coming on at the last minute and binge watching it and taking shots is that they were right. That's what makes it so hard for you. They binge watched it and still ended up feeling the exact same way a lot of us that watched it in real time felt. So it's like, who are you to get to come along at the last minute and say this show sucks?
That's what I'm saying, because the show sucks for different reasons for us.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, who are you to come in at this final hour and come in bashing, like, because I feel like they're pointing at us like, aha, y'all waste all this time and it's trash, like that. And I'm like, you know, we didn't waste all of this time we spent. This is our show. Y'all came. A lot of people really didn't like it just because of its period piece nature. Like, people would ask me, I'm like, yeah, it's horses. They're like, oh, I ain't watching that stuff. I'm not watching The Queen or Downton Abbey. I don't watch none of that shit, you know, and we're real big fans of that. And so, you know, all the things they did work, but like, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. And so we can move on with this. Yeah, Danny's turn was way too quick and it sucked. And it was like, huh? And they could have spent that time when they were fucking on the boat to just showing us a little bit more Missandei and her. So when they cut her head, it would have meant a whole fucking lot more. The Red Woman, what the fuck was she for? Like, she walked away halfway through a battle. It didn't even mean no damn sense. Like, you're not even around. And then Varys died because of some weird old thing you said. Yeah, whatever.
This is a huge exhale.
They should have had Arya fighting some lieutenant or something. Like, I did like that they didn't let Jon fight the Night King, because that was a little subverted or whatever. But for real, Bran going into them fucking birds, like, really, like, fuck, like, what? Like, come on, man. Where the fuck are you at, man? And then you came back and you're nothing. Now you're the fucking king. You're smiling. Yeah, Theon, go run out and die. You fuck, yo, man. Come on, man. Cersei ain't do nothing but have, like, culture shock. Oh, well, they'll shoot. Bitch, the shit's burnt. Nobody's doing anything. Like, what are you talking about? One good shot. Like, your fucking, what is his name? Urine is sitting there all wet. He's even more wet. Wet with his own blood. Wet with Jaime and shit. Jaime gets stabbed fucking twice and walks off. What the hell is even happening? I didn't think that dinghy was put there by Davos. When did he have even time to do that? He don't even have but one fucking hand in his fucking nub. Shit. All right, and then you got fucking, I don't know, what's her name? Daenerys. She goes, like, deaf or whatever. They start ringing the bells. They surrendered, and you start huffing and puffing like you're puffing the magic dragon. You're going to blow the fucking thing down. And then you're taking this whole zigzag route. And now you want to zigzag? Rickon didn't zigzag. Nobody fucking zigzags. But Dany zigzags when she wants to burn up all the fucking King's Landing and shit. Then you got these fucking people sitting there. I want Cersei to be fucking, like, tripped. She gonna trip down there. If she walked by the mountain, I wanted the mountain just to hit her, like, hint, hint. That's for Arya. Just hint, when Jamie had that side thing, it was perfect. That's what said it's that. Hey, hey. No, and then they meet in the fucking crypt and fucking rock spoiler. Come on, man. You gotta step out of here, man. You gotta fucking go on, man. It's a shielder, man. Like, you could die or something, man. And then she could have came out and Terry could have came and choked that bitch when she was burning or some shit.
This is incredible. Keep going.
All right.
It's an intervention.
Almost done. Almost done. All right. So then we have this great shot of Danny walking with all of this shit burnt. This bitch is like knocked and shit. Like, she's like, like, her eyes all plugged out and shit. They have this great wing scene. Then she appoints fucking, what's his name? Stardust Numsi or whatever his fucking name, Baron Numsi. He's the leader of, he's the agent of war or whatever, but he already leads the army, so he has, like, double jobs, but he's not getting paid for one salary. Shit doesn't make any damn sense. She's yelling at people that they can't hear her, and they're yelling back. So how the fuck they can hear you? I'm just here. I'm
calling there so many dumbasses.
Right. Then she walks off after giving John like eye daggers and arresting Tyrion. Where the fuck they walking to? You burnt everything down, bitch. There's nowhere to walk to. You notice they just took this arbitrary left out in the field of snow and ash. Where are you going? Stay right there. Doesn't matter where you go.
Stay right there. He said, stay right there. Where are you going?
Now she's all super queen and shit, right? But she doesn't have a queen's guard or any Dothraki around her or anybody. She's just in there, eyes bugged out because the bitch done knocked her head upside her head, right? And then he comes and fucking stabs her. Oh, my fucking God, right? So then a big Drogon's going to burn him to fucking Christmas shit, right? I'm like, yeah. And this is fire and ice, right? This is Jon Snow, ice getting burnt by fire. The dragon, no. The dragon does something pretty poetic. I actually really didn't mind that.
Yeah.
But dummy Jon, you could have said she shook this fella on the fucking Iron Throne and stabbed her ass, and the dragon fucked out and took. I don't know what the fuck happened. No, you get arrested. They go to the next scene. And he's not there. And I'm like, what is it, tomorrow? And the next day, he got a beard. It's not even that big a beard. Tyrion got the same beard he got. I don't know how he's back. His clothes all dirty and shit like that. But, you know, I'm just learning about people now living lives at bird baths. So it doesn't matter how dirty you think they are. They might not have washed yesterday. And also, people are not washing. They're going to pools and shit. And also, they're not washing the bottom of their feet. So if you apply that to the fucking Game of Thrones.
They don't wash their legs.
If you apply that to Game of Thrones, then that could have been yesterday or tomorrow. Now you got all of these people meeting. They don't tell you who they are. What's the name of Prince of Dorne? I don't fucking know. I think there's a, like, one of the Reeds there, Jojen Reed's father, whatever. He might have been there. Who fuck knows? Oh, man. Then all of a sudden he says something about some fucking democracy. They all laugh. But then they democratize themselves anyways because they didn't appoint Bran. So make up your fucking mind. What do you want to fucking do? Sansa plays out of uncle. That was really funny. Okay. Tyrion finally gives a speech that means something, but I don't know, because didn't fucking North Sodom Numsi yell at him, say not to talk, and then he kept talking? What are we even doing anymore? Like, where are we, and what are we fucking doing? Okay, we're spinning around like on a marionette that's just broken down in some fucking, like, Sarah Connor Terminator wasteland. He just keeps on rolling, and that's us watching this stupid-ass fucking show. So now we move on to where everybody goes. And Bran's like, well, what was I doing here before? What were you fucking doing here? That's the best question that you ever fucking ask. Why did I come this long way? Why did I do anything? I don't know. Somebody should slit your throat. You know, she just slit his throat. Mirror, when she found out that it's because of him that her brother died and everybody died and Summer died, you know, and Hodor died, and you're just sitting there like, I don't really feel anymore. Well, don't feel this, bitch. You could stab him right in his fucking gut. You don't feel that shit, and that shit would have been over with. Oh, my head fucking is killing me. Okay, and now to round it out. I did watch a lot of the highlights about Ned Stark and all this, where the Stark started, so I wasn't mad at where they kind of ended, but John went back to the wall, but he's Lord Commander. I don't know, that really didn't make sense. The end.
Really proud of you, bro. Really proud.
Thanks,
of you.
Cash. Thanks, man.
Really proud of you.
Sorry, I was drying my hand. I've never been this drunk. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You feel better?
All right. Yeah. Now we can get back to the outline. I'm good. I'm ready now. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay. I want to say thank you again. So, did this look behind the veil offer any additional insight?
Yara winning her own independence and shit like that. Did she say that to Danny? But then at the same time, in the same little thing, they don't even bring it up. But Sansa could say it because why? She's dressed better. She didn't do shit but start dressing
she's
better. Like that shit. That's all you've been doing. And shit. You're scared of your sister and whatever like that. Like, come on, man.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, more. That just, sorry. I totally remembered that part.
Because she's dressed better.
Ambush, did this look behind the veil offer any additional insight into your understanding of the final season?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't give me any additional insight into anything that happened in the final season. It just gave me insight into how they make, you know, how the show works and the timelines they were dealing with and, you know, things like that. It was interesting to see that King's Landing took them 7 months to build. That was dope. But, yeah, as far as the actual content storyline, nah, it didn't give me any additional insight.
So there was one part that was a little more insightful for me, and it was when they were with Jorah and he was going through his final scene. That little moment for me was like, okay. I think I've said that and thought that in some ways as well. Like, okay, maybe everything would have played out differently if she still had Jorah, if she still had Missandei, if she still, you know, but what things led up to that, what contributed to that. And I definitely, like, when he said it, though, I definitely, it was really like, no, Jorah would not have let her do all of that.
True.
Like, yeah, like not even on some let her.
Right, his absence.
His absence.
Very significant.
Absolutely. Like, he would have, Khaleesi, I strongly advise you against that. Or how about right. if we, you know what I mean? I think that something like that would have happened. Or even just knowing, like, she would have had to see, wait, a disappointed look in Jorah's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that is different from, like, you know, going back and seeing John and Grey Worm, who was just like already dead inside, you know, like yeah. all of that. So when you said that,
but
I was like, you know
what? Of her, what are the logistics of her being on the dragon when she got mad? Like, I feel like she didn't look down at everybody like they were on the ground, you know, like even when John came up.
I mean,
said,
I feel like that was completely premeditated. I don't really think that she made that decision while she was on the dragon. I think that that moment where they showed her, she was hyping herself up to do something she had already decided she was going to do.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like you see somebody like breathing real hard with a gun while they outside of
right.
the convenience store that they about to go into. Yeah. Like, that nigga came with the gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I feel like that's how she was.
So with that in mind, would Jorah have been able to stop that, or you think she wouldn't have gotten to that point if Jorah was still
alive? I don't think she would have gotten to that point, and I think that if anybody she would have confided in that was like, yo, I'm going to burn that shit down tomorrow, like, there was no one for her to confide in about that.
Yeah.
True. Right, I think to have even that one conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I think Jorah would have been that one person she would have trusted enough to be like, yo, fuck all of them. They playing me. This is what I'm about to do tomorrow. Or even if she got on her dragon, maybe he would have said something, not even knowing that, you know, brought her some sort of calm. You know what I mean? Like, I think,
I do think
would have potentially played out a little differently had she had him in the picture. So when he said that, for me, that gave me a slightly more of a under, it just hit different.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was an interesting one for me, because it made me think of something. So when Homegirl was at the end going, when they were shutting everything down, when everything was shut down, and she was kind of just walking through some of the old sets, and she walked through Winterfell, and she pointed out the spot and said, this is where we killed Jon Snow. And I thought about us, and I'm going to go back and did we review that episode, or we were just talking about it? I don't think we recorded an episode for that.
Episode. I don't think that we were recording at that point.
Was that season six? Yeah, was that season five? Or
I think we didn't do that. I think
that was season five.
No, we didn't start till season
seven. We talked about it. We didn't start till seven.
Was it seven?
So I remember us talking about that cliffhanger. And this last season kind of reminds me a little bit of that. Because remember, we had no lead in because the books didn't, he's dead in the books and they didn't resurrect him yet. But I remember like them spotting him and him saying he's not there to, you know, he's not there to film, and then not seeing him around the cast and him actually saying on talk shows he's dead, he's not coming back, and trying to fake it. But that could have been a moment for me in some hindsight, and her pointing it out, you know, as a production manager, where there was a little bit of let go in the rope. I don't know if they executed that the best, because he kind of came back and like kind of for what? Even back then, before we even knew why, Melisandre never really explained it. We never really went back to the Lord of Light, hardly ever. So, you know, unless you just believe in the story steps of John B. Like, what was he even there for then? To go get the white? To distract Daenerys? Because I'm thinking that heavy about him being the mess up. When she got with him, everything went to shit. So, you know.
When, what season did we start recording?
I think it was season 7. Like, no, I think it was season 6, episode 7.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. There
we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, season 6 had 10 episodes, though, right? Yeah. They didn't start the shorter season for 7 and 8. Okay. But not in a disappointing way, but it just made me think of the Jon Snow stabbing. And then, because I was watching something about when they hung Ollie and all that stuff. So, like, only 4 or 5 of them conspired to kill him. And then they killed them. I don't know. It's something to look back on. Yeah.
It's definitely a question that should have been answered. That's one of the things that, like, we're paying attention to all the details that were given to us. So, Lord of the Light, whatever. Like, you were brought back for a purpose because that's what people are brought back for. And then, you can just go to the Night's Watch, which, what did he ever have to do that for in the first place? Grand Ward.
Well, see, then there's a, yeah. I thought about that, but wait, there's a conflict. If the purpose of him being brought back was to kill Dany, then why did the Lord of Light assist them at Winterfell? You know what I'm saying? That was her working on Dany and everyone else's behalf, fighting the dead. So, I mean, like, now the Lord of Light is confused.
Let me ask y'all
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
A systemic question.
They messed that up.
A systemic question, y'all. Mm-hmm. If they switched it, like maybe let Winterfell get overrun, if we killed the Night King after Cersei and all of that, would the story have landed better for y'all?
Winterfell getting overrun and more characters dying would have that would have added a lot more weight to the season for me, definitely. Because Winterfell getting overrun seemed inevitable, especially once he brought everybody back. It was like, oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Yeah, there was never.
But the whole thing of doing Cersei last instead of doing her before.
Well, the only way doing Cersei last was gonna work is if Cersei had a satisfying death.
Right.
And she didn't.
Yeah.
She simply didn't. Yeah. So for me, it's not the order in which they did it. But all of the things they left out in order to do it is just crazy to me.
Mm. Like Azor Ahai?
Right. None of
what
that.
What do I even know that name for?
Right.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. All of that.
The Night King went out. Like, I don't mind Arya and all of that.
I don't either. I loved it.
To me, when it kind of happened and in effect to the story, all right.
Okay, I'll just say that, no, I don't think I got a significant, or that's not the question. Did I get a better understanding for the season? I think if they would have taken the spoilers for season 8, which would be spoilers, they're not now, obviously, but if they would have taken those things out, like just portions of the table read and, you know, things like Jorah saying, ultimately, it'll be her demise, that kind of stuff. If they took just a couple of things out and gave us this documentary before the season, it would have been far more impactful for me. Because I don't care as much about the journey when I know what the end is and I'm disappointed by the end. I just simply don't care as much. Like, thinking back on it, yes, a bunch of that shit's cool, and it's cool to know now, but it doesn't impact the way that the show went. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like,
yeah.
I end up feeling bad for all of these people who worked so hard, and then this product was the final result. Like, the state, the scenery wasn't fucked up. That wasn't, right. Nobody had issue with that. I feel like they need to explain to us something. If you want to give us a documentary, explain yourself. This could have been
right.
Like this.
Oh, you know they've gone black. A preamble. They've gone 7:30 black 30. They're not interviewing.
Right. Seen them since, which is wild.
They're not doing anything.
Yeah, but they don't want to let the show die either by putting this documentary out.
Right.
Which is weird to me.
Right.
Like if this would have been in the beginning and didn't spoil anything for season 8, this would have been way, way, way more impactful. I would have cared so much more about it.
Castro, I definitely believe with my entire heart that right now someone is working on the story. There is someone tying the timeline together of when these guys went to work on Star Wars. Like, someone's tying this whole string of events around this final season together. And we're going to get that story.
It might have to do with that Confederate show that they might have started on and not really told us. Mm-hmm. Just remember how much backlash
they got.
Well,
that would be even worse.
and I'm just saying. So, yeah. But they can't really admit, because it's a horrible idea. They can't admit that, we were kind of split, mm-hmm. you know, to do this thing. Because it's not just the South winning. It's that slavery is still going on. Like, you tell me you can't adjust your story to just not make slavery still be going on. That's like something else happened or whatever. I don't know.
So remember, we were talking about the petitions. The people were petitioning about, you know, redoing the season. And they were upset with it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw today, and the story first posted, I guess, like two or three weeks ago, that there are other petitions that they don't want these guys associated with Star Wars now because of what happened with Game of Thrones. Yeah, they're petitioning them. Star Wars fans are like, no, don't give them a trilogy. Get them off.
But wait, here's my weird thing with Star Wars. Isn't Rian Johnson also doing a trilogy? Or is he home?
I'm not sure.
I remember hearing that a lot, but it's kind of stamped down since word of theirs going on. But there was a moment when it's Rian Johnson was going to do three. But now, because this is J.J. Abrams, what's his name?
J.J.
This is his third and final one.
Yep.
J.J. And then who's picking up the next three? These fools?
Yep.
All right, man, let's move on.
Let's go. Okay. Okay. What part of the documentary was the most surprising to you, Af?
So there was a part where I was actually a little confused about this part, but I think they were going to Spain, and they were like, mm-hmm. they were in Spain, and they were like, all these other actors have been invited here, even though they're not in any scenes, and they're basically being decoys. Yeah. And I thought that was like super surprising to me. Like,
yes,
you're fucking paying people to come out on set just to confuse the media and people in general, but I couldn't place in the timeline like when that was, because they were talking about the Waif, and I'm like, that's like seasons ago, like, so it was a little confusing. Yeah. But I was surprised by just the idea that, you know, they were putting up that kind of money for
media
confusion.
They were filming,
so they had them.
Yeah, that was the scene when they went to see Cersei in the dragon pit. That's that scene. That's what they went to Spain to film. So, yeah, that was...
So that's why I had everybody to come down, because they didn't know who...
Yeah.
You know, who was at this you know, this dragon pit, because everybody was invited.
Yeah, that was dope.
The real shit. But that was dope to see Jacken and the Waif.
Mm-hmm.
So, it made me want more Jacken in the story. Like,
yeah.
It made me go, oh, man, I liked that guy.
Yeah, he was dope.
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
And, like, hold on. Wasn't Ilaria underneath the Red Keep with her dead daughter? Like, weren't they still down there?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, wow.
The Sand Snake and her mother. Didn't Cersei put them down there?
Yeah.
For one to die and for the mother to look at her.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were down. I mean, I guess they got crushed by rocks, too, or whatever the fuck. But, you know, they didn't survive. But nobody made any mention of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's so all about that. Mm-hmm. No, because the Sand Snakes sucked. That was bad. Now, I know people on this call disagree with me in terms of, like, the scenery and all that stuff. Yes, that might have been something, but all that stuff was bad. You know one of them was Colleen Wing, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Castro, were there anything, or what was the most surprising to you?
I got to go back to it. The table read and how shocked some of the actors were. So it just goes to show you how much, you know, they won't give you. We also know about the Avengers and how many fake scripts they got to give to Ruffalo and shit like that. So you know, give them all the endings and stuff like that. But it's funny because to parallel this, a lot of the Avengers, they're showing interviews where they spoil the movie. Mm-hmm. But they were just these certain interviews and certain contexts that you wouldn't get it because they were just talking about a bunch of things. But seeing them react to the table read was a little shocking to me. I didn't know that they were that uninformed at that point, you know, not giving some type of precursor or whatever like that. And it also showed to me that some of them disagreed. Like Varys is, I can't remember his actor, but he was visibly like, nah.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah. You know, visibly not. But also what I really loved, not to be all negative, let me just finish up more, is to see them support each other when they would grab each other's shoulder or just give them encouragement when they know their character was like dying. So that was really touching to me. That was dope.
To piggyback off the table read, I also found it interesting that they shredded the scripts after I was like, damn, okay.
Well, they said the director is the only one that really has, like, physical, those orange sheets. Everybody else kind of gets stuff on tablets and stuff, they said.
I mean, I guess I just thought that, like, once you had it, you just had it, you know? I didn't think, like, this is about to get shredded. It never crossed my mind at all, so, I guess I thought, like, the director had, you know, this, that, and the third, you know, up until that table read, and then once it was out with them, then it was just out. But it makes sense, like, you know, especially having worked at Apple, seeing the things that people go through just to keep something, you know, behind the scenes and not, and just leave that, like, surprise factor in for fans. And
It wasn't spoiled, y'all. Did anybody see any spoilers before the season hit? I know I avoided a bunch, but I didn't see any.
No, I didn't see any. I do want to say though that the woman who was getting all of those scripts together said they've all been sent the scripts, but we don't ever know if they've read them. You know, like so when this could be their very first time reading it. Someone could be really well versed in it. And then it felt like none of them had read it because they were all so shocked and surprised by stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting.
That was my surprising part.
The most surprising part to me, it's a two-parter. One, that the snow was paper and water.
And water.
Snowman. Snow was paper and water. The second part of that was surprising was that the black guy was in charge of snow. So what's happening?
I like to call him Snowman, a.k.a. Jeezy. All
okay.
right?
Okay.
Okay.
He pumped that snow.
Yo, he killed
the
snow,
B. He was professional with his snow application.
Very.
Like he, you know.
Very.
He was really good about it.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Like, you saw the part where he had to pack up some of the snow?
Yeah.
Some scene they did and, like, take it somewhere else. All in bags and shit. We're not doing it again. We'll just pack this up and go.
Not wasting the snow. He ain't playing no games.
Shout out to the snowman. We'll put his name in the credit. Shout out to the snowman.
Ambush, what was the behind the scene accomplishment that was the most impressive to you?
The green screen work. When they showed that big long panel of green screen, I mean, it's seamless. It really is seamless. That was it. That was blowing my mind that, you know, I mean, we've seen some of that with some of the larger movies, like, you know, the Marvel franchises. But yeah, that was super dope. That was really dope.
Kestra?
two things. The expansion of Winterfell, when they had the older set and they opened up a wall just to make it larger to fit everybody. And also, like, the King's Landing build. That, before the cameras came in, that little moment of quiet they focused on, that was pretty impressive. Like, walking through before any actors are in there, that was really impressive to me, the detail and how much King's Landing they actually rebuilt. Because they said they couldn't, they wouldn't be able to shoot extensively when they shot in King's Landing before because they had to blow up some things. And also the fact that that set was disposable, it wasn't so much in this documentary, but if you pair it with some of the other behind the scenes, they built the broken down set underneath the pristine set and then actually really blew it up with like bombs. So that was pretty impressive.
For me, it was just like all the finer details, like, you know, the snow we just talked about, makeup, hair. Like, I would have never thought that they were spending that much time on, like, makeup on extras, you know, or, like, costumes. The bull, who was, like, a for real Game of Thrones fan and an extra, he was like, I think the best way to put this on is if I get down on my knees and just put my hands up, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that, like... Those costumes, like, damn, like, he's wearing, like, four or five layers right now, you know? And then, like, watching Amelia get, you know, fitted for her. And it was so great, too, because we've had all these jokes about their lace fronts, and it was like, this really is a lace front. Like, exactly. Like, somebody really did pull down Sansa's baby hairs, you know? That was the thing. So, like, seeing her. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, like, seeing, you know, Dany get fitted and, you know, putting her wig on and that, you know, even as it goes into shooting, like, there's a hair person there over and over, like, oh, shit, the wind blew. Let me, like, put her curl back in.
Yeah.
You know, just those kinds of details. Again, like, you know, reminds me of Apple shit. Like, people just paying attention to every single thing, which, you know, I know could be, we could just relate it back to, again, being frustrated when you're like, how do people pay attention to so much detail, but then also overlook so much detail at the same time? So,
right.
It was just nice to be reminded of, like, all the little things that go into, you know, making the set and making the everybody look. Because you also don't, you know, you don't think about that stuff when you're so caught up in, like, good acting and a good period piece and, you know, some of that kind of stuff. So.
Like, they literally have extras doing everything. Like, all the extras are actually doing something. Like, when they showed the scene of everybody rushing into King's Landing and they had the balcony people doing things, oh, that was great.
Yeah. The most impressive thing to me was, I just echo all of your sentiments, like, it was really cool to see how some of these things happen. And, like, Ak, you just summed it up so perfectly, but, like, when the snow dude was, like, doing snow in King's Landing, and he was, like, at the end of season 7, a snowflake landed on Jamie Lannister's hand, so now that there's snow here, you know, like, I loved that he tied it all together, you know, made it all made sense if anybody had forgotten. Yeah, I all of those little details I'm all about.
Yeah.
All about it. Ambush, what was your emotional high point and low point of the documentary's proceedings? What?
Emotional.
That's a funny question. Sorry.
I never saw that word either. Like, whoa.
Y'all don't read the questions before y'all read the questions. Y'all don't read the questions.
I did read all the questions. I forgot that there was proceedings in there. And then it kind of dropped out of my sight. And then it was back. And I was like, wait, shit, what? So anyway, yeah. What was your emotional high and low point of the documentary?
They all revolved around the crew, so different members of the crew. So emotional high point was when that woman that worked with the prosthetics, her and her husband, were able to get their daughter into the wildling scene. Like, that was dope. That was really, really dope. Emotional low point. My guy at the end crying, man. That Stark guard that had been with the show for so long. It was over, you know? And he was really, 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 really broken up about it. Yeah, that hit him hard.
Castro.
Let's see, my emotional high point, I would have to say, oh, I did like this part. I liked when they made the newer whites from, I guess, the people in the Crips, mm-hmm. and they were all standing there and, like, nervous. Is Benioff and White, so they're going to like it. They come in and they say they're going to like it, and they don't like it. And then, you know, but they was all, like, nervous, and they watched, and they said, well, they did not like it, but they said they had to go back to, you know, to Nutter or whatever. That was like, a little cute moment. I like that. And then my low point, I guess, would be, it's connected to that extra, but more so when John was his final shot. And it was just interesting seeing people's final shots not being in sequence. So when, you know, to us, we would think that, you know, Amelia's final shot would be in the Iron Throne scene, but it was like, I guess it was just with her riding Drogon at some point or something like that, when she was wearing that white and red. Mm-hmm. So, like, just seeing Jon get choked up at his final scene. And also, I guess, of equal importance, when I saw Dany and her hairstylist doing the wig for the last time. That was like, to think there was so many years and how... I wish they showed some of the characters that, like, physically grew, like Arya or Bran or whatever, just mm-hmm. to see them, you know, in present day, and then maybe some clips of them when they were really younger coming into the trailers and stuff. Because, like, Dany and John looked the same to me. So when they kept showing them in the, like, makeup chairs. Mm. But, yeah, it was just like,
well, when they final showed that shots. One little clip, when they showed that one little clip, it might have been in the beginning when the very first table read, and then they went to the table read, and seeing how tiny Arya was like, God dang it. I mean, that's a kid. Yeah. That's a kid right there.
Yeah.
Afro. Emotional highs, lows?
Highs, lows. Okay, so... Lowe's, this is just more like a general for me. Like, I'm the type of person, like, I don't really like seeing my food made, you know? Yeah. So, like, sometimes behind the scenes is just, like, a blower for me. Like, I don't, it just, like, takes away from the mystery and the intrigue, even if it is mm-hmm. interesting, you know? Like, sometimes I just want to live in that little fantasy of, like, you know, I don't know how this got put together, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, some of it was, like, a low. I feel like while it is awesome that, like, they built these sets and, like, you know, created a whole, you know, Winterfell or whatever, I also just, like, can't help but wonder, like, where is all this shit going? Like, this was a parking lot, you know what I mean, essentially. And then, like, you build all this shit on top of it and, like, what happens to that, you know, and, like, all the money that is invested into it, and I get it, entertainment, HBO, blah, 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 but, like, I don't know, there's a part of me that's just, like, we could just be fixing some shit in the world, and we're just, like, putting money in the Game of Thrones, you know, like, I don't know, it's just, I don't know, so those, for me, are kind of, like, little, I don't know, weird hippie lows that I had. what was my high? Oh, my high was the fucking food cart woman, yo. I love her. Like, this woman is fucking making a living. Making, what did she call them? A wee sandwich?
A wee melty.
A wee melty.
Exactly. A wee melty.
Why was that snack truck so small, though? Like, they didn't have, like, an extendo one? Like, like they were so small with, you know.
Yeah.
But how much of, how
I was saying to Em, I was like, she's lucky as shit she won that bid. Like, however she got
in
that set, she lucky as shit. Yep. She probably owns that truck. She probably can't afford to get a bigger truck yet. Like, but what a place to park. You know what I mean?
Like, Seriously.
Would it be like 300 crew members a day?
Oh, yep. No
credit. And yeah. Up overnight and, you know, no credit. Y'all niggas better pay me. Like, that's
yeah.
all. Like,
yeah.
Money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I think I should have shown great. How,
like,
One more time.
Sorry.
I did not mean to ask your mom to repeat herself. I promise. I just didn't hear her.
Like, don't ask my mom to say it again. the snack cart, the food truck lady, whatever. She got to see the singer that she liked. I thought that was cute too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did y'all see that part?
Yeah, that girl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know her name.
Yeah, I don't know her name either.
We're doing great. We're doing great.
We're doing fantastic.
Oh, wait, y'all mean that girl?
Y'all know that girl. She was in y'all's version of the documentary, too, right?
Yeah.
That's
her.
Yeah, that girl. The Jonas thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, her.
They all look the same.
So, I guess my low point was kind of to do with the guy who had been there for all of the seasons, the Stark extra, who's done it all. I feel terrible for him because I feel like he's not doing any other gigs. Like, he's not picking them up left and right. Like, he was living for Game of Thrones. And
yeah.
I don't know how that's going to play out.
I feel like he's going to do other shit, but he's going to always talk about Game of Thrones. He's going to be that dude that who's like, I fucking did Game of Thrones for like 10 years, and like, they didn't do it like that over there.
He's like, Uncle Rico.
Y'all didn't see the credits?
Well, no, yeah. That's part of my high.
Okay, sorry.
And this wasn't an ass version, so she doesn't know this part.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
During the credit, they showed that guy doing Game of Thrones tours, like in Ireland, of places that they shot.
It's amazing.
And that was
he made his own business.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but did he? I don't know if he's hired or if he the bus.
True.
We don't know that, but we know that he's hosting the tour.
Okay.
It is my mixed high and low. I feel like great that you get to revisit this, but this is not healthy anymore.
It's not healthy.
Like, there's gotta, that can't be the in-between time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then my high was knowing that Jeezy got an Emmy.
Nice.
For that snow.
Yeah.
For bringing in that work.
You know what I'm saying?
That soft white.
That soft white.
Bringing in that soft. That
white girl. You know?
Got it right here.
He's like, I got a certificate for it, as a matter of fact.
My man says it's the same as having a... Hold on.
Got that Murray.
Are you still on the corner right now?
Yeah, he's still on the corner.
All my windows are closed. Okay. No cops are being caught.
We do not believe you.
Yeah, no.
Ain't no way the windows is closed.
Well, anyway, my man said it's the same as
Is it having oh damn, now I just lost the word. A tractor driving license.
He was a forklift license. Like, yeah, you don't show that.
A forklift license. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you don't show anyone that. Like, what am I gonna do with it?
Yo, and when he said it, I was like, where's my forklift license? Like, I was like, I don't know. You just get it.
Oh my god.
I immediately thought, where's my?
There he
where
is.
Did I put my? Is it? Is it in a box? Is it in storage? Where's my forklift license?
The thing Ambush really cares about. Where did that go? Where did that go? 28 years ago. I wonder where that is.
Yeah. Oh, we're like, of course you have a forklift.
Exactly. No one would ever double guess that. Like, of course he does.
No question about it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have that.
I didn't flinch at all. I was
the last yeah, last same day. Here. I was like, word.
It's like, is this silly or did you get another one in Oregon? How'd it work? Like, do you know,
man.
Yeah, same. Castro, what season, scene, or location would you have liked to see in this documentary? Did they forget something for you?
Because Dorn, of his lack obviously. Of presence, Lord, but because of his lack of presence, it would have been nice to show us how they constructed ghosts. I think I've only seen like one time they showed them doing the direwolves. I think mm-hmm. I would have liked to see ghosts. And I think that's it. Oh, I also wanted to see the crypt. I would have liked to see the build of the crypts. Was that underneath something? Like, you know, did that make it just enclosed? Like you went to a, or was that some studio or, you know, totally somewhere else? So I was curious about that.
Afro?
I don't really have an answer for this one.
Good answer. Amber?
I would have wanted to see.
I guess my answer would be no.
No.
I can't get it together. Give me a second.
Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you for raising your hand, Michelle. Thank you very much.
I was legit trying to text you. Skip me. Skip me. I got distracted.
Okay, the reason why this is making me laugh so hard is because the whole time I'm like, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I got it back together.
All right.
Ambush.
I would have wanted to see, as far as the scene, I would have wanted to see the wall coming down. I would have wanted to see how they did that, how they handled that, how much of it was CGI and how they handle all that nice. Dragon work,
all of
and
it.
You know, yeah, I would have wanted to see just, you know,
all of it.
But even like on the inside, when the castle was falling down on them, like I just would wanted to see some of that too. Yeah, how they made that whole thing happen. Yeah.
Real quick, just with the you mentioned the castle coming down, which made me I don't know why, but think of the Night King taking that fall.
Oh yeah.
And Castro saying it was all out of sequence because that was his last. That was his last shot.
Right.
Yep.
It was funny to see him take that fall because when he's in the final version of it, he looks so smug. Like, he just looks like, you think this is going to do something to me?
Like, sure enough.
And I didn't see it in the fall that we saw. Like, I didn't see the smugness. But.
Didn't you hear him kind of rewrite the whole thing? I don't think Arya should kill me. The Night King should kill Arya. And then I go and I kill Bran, and then somebody killed me after that. Like, he also said,
like, a girl should not kill the Night King. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that was the part of it. Like,
I mean, I think he meant little girl, and I don't know. Don't kill me. I don't know.
Then don't but defend
I think
him.
He was
let
more
him go.
She's a grown woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in her character, she's a woman at that point. Yeah. But whatever. Okay.
Yes.
She'd be doing it at the very least.
Well, that's true.
Exactly, right?
At the very least.
I mean, that's definitely when you think you grown. So, like, yeah, she grown. I'm sorry, I got us off track there. Castro, you did yours. Ambus, you did yours. Yep. I still don't have shit. I guess I know there's I would have liked to see more of making the dragon glass stuff, the weapon, because I want to know what that, like, it was resin, but like some of it looked flimsy, some of it looked really sturdy. Like, I would have liked to know how that, what that process really was. Because I'm a weirdo and like to see my food get made, and that stuff. I really like that analogy. But yeah, I like to see how this stuff works. That stuff I really enjoy. So I would have liked to see the dragon glass stuff. And I kept looking for different colors of it, and I couldn't really tell in this documentary. So I would have liked to know if that really ever did mean anything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good for me.
Yeah, I got to see a white woman pissing on a lady's front, and that really, like, did so much for me, guys.
Okay, wait. Can I ask you a question? Did you walk? Did you happen to pay attention at all the way she was braiding her, like, Amelia's actual hair to put it under?
No.
I was like, how do you get to be a wig master if you don't know how to braid? Like, she was having such a hard time with, like, a super simple French braid. Clip that shit. Her hair is short. What are we doing here?
Right.
And I'm like, how do you get to be the one that does this? Doesn't make any sense.
It's so interesting. Like, they do that every time. Like, you get a lace front put in every day, and then you get it taken out, and then you act for like what, 10 hours in between? I don't know. Like, that's just it's like so much.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah.
F. Which member of the crew was your favorite to learn about or watch?
Jeezy.
Easy.
Jeezy. That's also mine. Straight up. I don't even know his name. I have the black man / snowman.
Snowman.
We were respectful.
And like when I first saw him, I was like, oh my God, I hope that they talk about him more. Because, like, who's this random black dude? And then I was so excited that he actually, like, opened up and was like, yo, I was in an orphanage, and they gave me money and was like, go, be on your own. And, like, I had to figure it out from myself. It was just really nice to, like, you know, see his
get a story from him.
Story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I also thought the Night King's, his story was interesting, that he was, like, actually a stuntman and was now, like, acting, if you would call it that. But you have to call it that, right? Because even without saying much, he is still, like, doing all this acting in his face and his body and, you know.
He's acting.
Which was also interesting watching Arya do that that stabbing scene, seeing how many times that she killed him, like, how many times they acted through that scene was also, like, damn.
Yeah.
And then, for me, the funniest crew member was, I don't know if you guys watched the show.
I found his name.
Like, the black guy?
Yeah. Del Reed. Del.
That's definitely his
first name.
Del.
Last name Reed, a.k.a.
Shout out to
the snowman.
Looks like a Del. Yeah.
Shout out to Del. So maybe we should call him Deezy.
Deezy.
Deezy. From here on out.
Deezy.
I love it. What was your last one?
I forgot what I was about to say.
You said, I don't know if you guys watch this show.
Yeah, so there's this show that comes on. I think it's an FX show. It's called something like In the Shadows or Behind the Shadows.
Oh,
it's a vampire show.
You didn't get
but
a chance
shot,
to start
oh, my God.
Like a documentary, yeah.
We haven't started, but we know of it.
Yeah.
That shit is fucking hilarious, all right? I'll just say that.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
The main vampire has an assistant. And the assistant is, like, not a vampire, very nerdy. And, like, if you could think of Michael Scott having an assistant, like, or as an assistant, like, it would be in that vein. Like, a little stupid, a little smart, like, a little ridiculous. And I don't know this guy's name either, but in the documentary, it was, like, the main director or, like, some high up. And his assistant, the assistant that was, like,
with the glasses. Yes.
Almonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That dude And then it's also like, I figured out that he reminded us of the vampire's assistant. Oh, we couldn't stop fucking laughing. It was fucking hilarious. He was just like, you know, oh, don't question the process. You know?
Yeah.
They were like, why do you use A4 paper or 8.5 by 11 instead of A4? Don't question the process.
Yeah. Don't mess with us, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved him. I thought he was amazing.
Did he offer him some agave after he gave him his tea? What was the second thing? Agave.
Yeah, do you want some agave? Like, do you want some, what do you call them? Some sort of herbs? Like some, it was some Chinese. I had to Google it. Some Chinese herbs. Like, you want some tea herbs or whatever? He was like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And the way he offered it was like he had it in his backpack. And he didn't. He was like, okay, like, I'm going to go back.
He's got to have his protein. He's got to have his protein.
Only halfway anticipating the need. Like, I know he wants this, but I'm going to wait to find out.
Yeah.
So does he signal for him, or does he kind of swoop in every 5 or 10 minutes and ask him if he wants something else, walnuts?
I feel like he's just peeking in.
Yeah.
He's peeking in.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's obviously a dynamic that works for them, like that situation. And that director
is cracking up, yo.
It's fucking weird. Like, he's just
so wait, what is he doing in the paper? Like, he writes the storyboard on each piece of paper? Or?
Yeah.
I got confused with the paper thing.
Right.
Was it the story or the set? Okay. It was the story. Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the director?
Yeah, I was the director.
What's his name? Michael Nutter?
David Nutter? No, that's someone else. I think it's David
Nutter.
That's
the
mayor
of Michael Nutter.
That's like Santa Gold's uncle, dude. Oh my god.
That is great.
That's definitely
I'm undone.
But I do think it might be like David Nutter or something like that.
I think it's David.
Yeah.
It's not Michael.
All of this.
No.
All of this, definitely not Michael. I've not gone to Google to find out, but it doesn't. I don't care enough. I think it's David. yeah, he's just as weird. So I think they work perfectly together.
Exactly. So yeah, those were my absolute favorite character was the black guy. All right, I'm gonna keep talking, and then the other favorites, or just like the funny guy, was the assistant, and I guess I don't know. Would you call the Night King like a little quirky? Like he was just a little.
Okay, can I just mention something about the Night King?
He
was funny, but he was also like the kind of person who's so starved for attention. I was worried for him when he walked over there to the group that was like, Keith, Keith.
Do you know who I am? Yeah. Do you know
and
who
he
I
said,
am?
Do you know who I am? Like, fucking, what are you doing? Reel it in.
Yeah.
Come back over here. Like, don't do that. Like, no.
I felt like he was saying that to see if they knew who he actually was, because he's not a main actor. He's a choreographer that just
played, and
he's in makeup. So he was asking them, do you know who I am? And then they were saying that he was a Night King, and then it was like, oh shit, they really know who I am. That's how I saw that scene. Like, he wasn't like, being like Gladiator.
Yeah, I took it in a weird, like,
yeah.
Well,
because he was saying he wasn't used to any
weird
of that.
But
yeah. He was, you know, he was saying he wasn't
used to any of that.
Yeah,
I took it a different way. I took it like he lives for that.
Ah, no.
You say he's not used to it. I took it like he was like, yes. Oh, they want to talk to me. Like, I took it a different way.
So
they want to talk to me.
He was my guy.
I could be wrong.
I have a question for everybody.
Yeah, he was my guy.
I have a question for everybody.
You have a what?
Okay. Question for everybody.
Is it on topic?
Is the key? Yes. No objections. I knew she was gonna laugh. Here we go. From fire to laugh. That's what we need. And embarrass Castro or put him to task or put him over the flames, and I'll start. anyway.
Embarrassed me.
Is the Keek nickname, is that inherently racist?
What's
the name?
It's pronunciation.
All right, so if the way they pronounced it, they said it was the Spanish people always saying Keek. You know, that's how they said his name, and then it seemed like everybody on set was calling him Keek. You even seen that? The actors dive in like it's like in stereo. Was that inherently racist?
I don't think so. I don't think so only because the way that they say Keek because they pronounce their I's in Spanish as E's.
Yeah.
And so I think that it really is like I'm saying it like Spanish, not like what the Mexicans say. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like ridiculous and racist. I think it's like, this is the Spanish pronunciation of your name, you know? But I don't know. I don't think that was in my documentary.
Okay.
That wasn't in your version.
I just did the part where they said keep. But yeah, I didn't see other people calling him that.
Okay. Nobody else did, or not that I heard, but he said that the cast dubbed him Keith.
Oh, gotcha.
And then you hear them being like, Keith, and then please, like, yeah, you, anyway. Castro, I didn't take it that way, and would love to be enlightened. I totally looked at it as that's the pronunciation there. Maybe they were... Maybe it was funny to them, but it didn't seem racist to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just curious because, no, I mean, them, like all of the cast members from where their various places are and all of them copying how the people in, I guess, Spain were saying it, even though none of them pronounced it that way. It just sometimes, when I'm asking if it's inherently racist, I wonder if there could have been some mocking. Because the way the cast kind of does the chorus like it's a running joke. Key, like they all do it almost simultaneously at the same time, like it's a joke. Oh. But, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that. But, you know, I was being a sensitive joke.
Other actors saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're in the van, they're traveling, they like jump in together like it's a running joke. So is the running joke just they have this different pronunciation of your name, or is the running joke of look how these people are saying your name? These people type shit. That's all. Mm-hmm. It just kind of came to me like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Okay. I know it's my job to know where we are, but now I don't know where we are, so.
Did everyone do? I think I was the only one who answered.
No, you're the only one that went.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Tasha, which member of the crew was your favorite to learn about or watch?
I did enjoy the, and just forgive me if I'm wrong, there was a couple of production managers, but the one lady had said that most of these people would never even know me. Like in a room, they don't even know what I do for the show. I thought that was kind of significant. And that she had a certain passion for doing this type of work. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was one of those people like the full on schedules.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was,
but actually, she was pretty funny. And I love the cursing one. The location lady was like, "Come the fuck on, the fucking fucking." I thought that was
it was funny.
Those are my two favorites.
Ambush?
Mine was the Night King. Yeah, that was my favorite. About. Because again, like he was, spent many years as a stuntman, but then was on this show as a choreographer.
The second one,
right? He's on the show as a choreographer, and then when they asked him to be the Night King, he said even in that mode, there were still times when it was uncomfortable for him because he's in front of the camera, but he's also thinking about the fight sequences from behind the camera and making sure all that's being done right at the same time too. So. Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was the guy.
Was the first Night King? Was that a black guy? Mm-mm. I thought that was a black guy. I'm not sure. No, it wasn't. Mm-mm. Okay. The one that raised his arms at Hard Home. That was just a different guy. Mm-hmm.
Ambush, what prop costume or crew apparel would you like to have that you saw in the documentary?
Those jackets. Those jackets were dope.
Yeah, that was a fun.
Yeah. Any of those jackets would have been ill.
With the different sigils and the different production scenes. Yeah,
those are hard.
Yeah, that was dope. Those are dope.
Yeah.
Those were dope.
Would you actually wear that jacket?
Oh, definitely. I was stunned. Like, be all casual with it. In Whole Foods. Just like, could you... Oh, I can't in reach Whole it. Could you? Are those organic? Are these the organic ones? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I'd take it off and wouldn't, like... I wouldn't wear it to, like, a club or nowhere where, like, you would, like, be caught on camera. Like, none of that type of flossing. Just, like, regular shit. Just, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
it. Yeah, hell yeah. What?
Gas station and shit.
Exactly.
Wawa.
Well, not the gas. Well, nice. Out here, they pump your gas, so nobody can see me get out the whip to pump. So, but like, yeah, if we was, you know,
don't you have the little walk-in little store part?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't
cool.
have the little
but
walk-in.
But it looked cooler if you pumping gas with the Game of Thrones jacket on. That's just like crazy.
Pumping gas.
Yeah.
So that's all you would do all day.
Yeah. Man.
That's the coolest part.
Listen, Af, you nailed it. $2 here, boop, boop. Go 2 blocks down, another $2 in, boop, boop. Yeah.
Okay. No. All right.
Work the strip. I got to work the whole strip with this job, you know.
Morgan's going to be like, you still at the gas station?
It's a different jacket, shun. Though. Different jacket. This is season 5
the inefficiency
jacket.
Being... displayed here is actually giving me a panic attack.
I'm switching jackets though. This is my season 6 jacket.
Is there any prop costume or crew apparel that you would like?
I just had one, but I think I changed my mind. I wouldn't mind either the cat's paw dagger or one of the Valyrian swords. Hmm. Not like ice. Ice was huge. So I know they have replicas of ice, but Jesus, that thing was gigantic. When they melted it down, it was a lot better. Maybe the Mormont sword. No, not the directly Mormont. No, wait. The Samwell sword. What sword was that?
Dawn.
Tarly.
Yeah,
Tarly, his sword, his family sword. He gave to Jorah that sword, or the cat's paw dagger. Mm. I would want one of those two things.
I would like the cat's paw dagger.
Yeah, good call.
I'd like one of those things that are like action.
Yeah, the slates.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Late. Exactly. I would just like post that up on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be hard. That would be hard.
There's so many of those. Oh, like, wait. Like, what do they do with those?
I want
clean them up.
I want Lady to Lady Olenna's last outfit, that black piece. And I'll just hang that up.
That is
terrifying.
Tell her it was me.
What? With that headpiece thing? I'll prop up the headpiece. I put like cardboard in there. Yeah.
And just have it in like on your wall. Like...
Have it hanging in. No, I won't. That is I don't make reference to it. I don't talk about it. I don't even act like it's there.
You don't talk about it. It's just in the corner.
People. Nope. Oh. It's just there. I don't. Nobody. If they ask me about it, I act like they didn't even say a word. I would just act like I don't know what you're talking about. I don't say one word about it. Yeah.
Holy
yeah, that's terrifying.
That's something from the Insidious universe just chilling in the corner of your room.
What was her name? Right, what was that demon's name? Moesha? What's her name?
Moesha? I don't remember.
Yeah, the Moesha demon. I don't know Moesha one.
Mm-mm. I'm done.
What? Moesha demon. Do you know that them braids were wigs? Mm. That's Insidious. Anyway.
Shots fired at Moesha.
Castro. What?
Yeah.
How did you? Okay. That concludes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else to add from the team?
If you're a fan of the behind the scenes stuff on Game of Thrones, if they show little extras and you watch it like on HBO Go or HBO, then you'll enjoy this documentary. It just shows. I think their intention was to show the scope of how big the season was and how they could pull it off, and I think they succeeded in that.
Do y'all remember that moment where Kit and Danny and John were kissing, and he was like looking to the side at the dragon? Mm-hmm. And in the documentary, you see that someone's just there saying, growl.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is somebody.
Yo, you know, that's the shit for me that's like, God damn it. You telling me there wasn't a dragon right there? For real? That's I want to stay in that ignorance of bliss.
Oh, they show stuff like that.
That's such a good example for your case, Avro.
Don't want to see the food, man.
Danny is like, anytime Danny is either petting her dragon or like they're touching the nose of the dragon when they get bigger, it's like this, green like head,
piece of foam,
like a little head.
Yeah, it's like green head, but it's geometric. It doesn't even look like a dragon. They don't even like give it.
No, nope, not at all.
It's just a shape. It's just a shape.
Like,
yeah, it's just a shape.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yep.
Growl. That's the name of the episode.
Growl. That's the name of the episode. Look here. And the name of the episode is Look Here. Off screen. Growl.
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 Oh, my God.
All right.
Great, yeah.
So, Cassius is learning to dance.
Nice.
A little bob.
Okay.
You know?
We need
rock.
Video.
Nice.
So we gotta get him up rocking next.
Thank you.
At the moment, he has a little toy that plays some little music, so he's been pressing play on that and then turning so he can rock. So he's basically a DJ.
Nice. Nice. Rock the party, Cash. So take no requests, B.
Right, just happy like your kids, Am. Happy like your kids.
Nice. Take no requests, Cash. No requests.
Don't be like DJ Dragon Breath from House Party. Don't be like DJ Dragon Breath from House Party. Bilal. Don't be like Bilal.
Bilal.
Bilal. I remember that was like my first real time like hearing those names like on kids that like grown up. Like not like, you know, younger kids with Muslim names.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's interesting. That's all I got, folks. Podcast has no name.
All right.
Signing out.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Castro, good job tonight, man. Good job.
Yeah, man.
Fantastic work.
Excellent intervention.
Thank you.
You done good.
Thank y'all. Put some bells and whistles on it, Am.
All right.
Talk to y'all later.
Yeah, do that.
Excellent, you're still here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of A Podcast Has No Name. If this is your first time checking us out, please subscribe. We are available on Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast Has No Name. Deuces.
Subscribe, please. Click and comment.